In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph. All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With respect to prayer, I'd like to encourage you all to be faithful to your daily examine. Be faithful to your daily examine. So find some time in which you're going to carry out that all-important spiritual activity that Saint Ignatius says we should never omit in the course of our daily walk with the Lord. How much time you give depends on you. Say you usually give at least 10 minutes. When? It can be any time during the course of the day. Many do it at night, but they fall asleep when they're doing it, okay? So they start, maybe by saying Hail Mary, before you know it, you're nodding and yawning. Okay? So it might be a good idea to find some other time in which you can carry that out. I will often do it at 9:45 in the parking lot of St. Peter Schnell, just taking a walk. It's a nice, calm, quiet time of the day in which there are very little going on. And I'm not going to fall asleep when I'm walking. I hope not. There always can be a first, right? You're probably going to say, if good old Job can fall asleep with his eyes open, you can fall asleep walking, huh? So in many ways in which this is divided, classically there's 5 points. So we'll go through it quickly and then we'll move into a very important juncture of these exercises that we've arrived at, a kind of a breaking point this afternoon. So you start off by thanking God. And you can't spend the whole time of your examen just thanking God. You've got days in which God is just inundated you with a deluge of graces, and you're just maybe riding on a wave of consolation. We've got those days, I have, and you probably do also. So you want to thank God for his abundant blessings. Then you beg for the grace to see the orientation of your heart. So Father Tim Gallagher says it's not necessarily a moral exam, he means an exam to prepare you to go to confession, but basically a spiritual exam to see the orientation of your heart. Where has your heart been during the course of the day? And you see where your heart has maybe deviated. As Paul says, we can begin in the spirit and end in the flesh. It can happen. Even the rules for the second week, you study the evolution of your thought process. If it's good, 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 come from the good spirit. But if it's good, 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 then it turns and it's perverted and it degenerates. Well, even the bad spirit can inspire a good thought with us, with the intention of pulling us eventually in the wrong direction. That's why you have to have spiritual direction. And then you honestly admit when you have fallen short of the mark. You know what the Greek word for sin? Amartia. The H is silent, it's not aspirated. Amartia. You know what that means? It means missing the mark. You got a bullseye, and you got a rifle, you got arrows, you got darts, and you throw the dart instead of hitting the bullseye, you hit the wall, okay? You miss the mark, okay? Or a pitcher throws a wild pitch. He certainly did miss the mark, huh? He missed the glove. So morally speaking, when we miss the mark, we're not faithful to God's graces, and that happens. Then the fourth step would be repentance. Fifth would be renewal, or proposal the following day to be more faithful. Probably for most of you, it's the most difficult prayer to be faithful to. Because of our lack of humility and because of our lack of fortitude. Humility to see with objective honesty that we do make mistakes. Fortitude, the willingness to take the steps necessary to change. So I think that those are the two virtues that we have to beg for to be able to carry out this all-important spiritual exercise with faithfulness, with efficaciousness and fruitfulness. And it really encapsulates the past, the present, and the future. The past is because you're rewinding the film of your day. The present because you're doing it in the present moment. But the future is you're projecting yourself into the future in which you are trying to foresee some areas of weakness that you have a certain proclivity to capitulating into. And if it's done well, definitely you're going to avoid a lot of moral pitfalls. Because what you're attaining is self-knowledge. And as the historian says, he who does not know history is condemned to repeat the same errors, right? Socrates says, a life that is not examined is a life not worth living. The Desert Fathers have a two-word axiom, know thyself. So hopefully, if you're not faithful to your daily examine, in the course of the retreat, now's the time to do it. And to make the proposal that leaving this retreat, you're going to be faithful to that practice. And if you have a spiritual director, we've got some spiritual directors here, spiritual companions, just by way of forming spiritual companions, that should come up in your conversation with your directees now and then. And that should surface. In other words, those directors here now and then should ask your directee, how's your daily examen going? Well, Let's work on it, okay? Of course, we who are directors should try to be faithful ourselves. Okay, so that's... Right now, I'm going to exit a little bit from the book, because in the scheme of the Ignatian exercises, this is the juncture in which we enter into what I call the Ignatian classics. The purpose of which would be, is understand that the purpose of the Ignatian classics, which are the two standards, the three classes of men, and the three grades of humility. These are very important, but if we don't know why, we'll try to do them, but we're not going to really see the purpose of it. So if you're doing a month retreat, this would be the second week, fifth day, which is basically midpoint. If you're making a month retreat, this is an eight-day retreat. Okay, it's this. First of all, to be aware of the different spirits that are working on us. The good and the bad. In this retreat, I felt very powerfully last night, the afternoon, the power of the two spirits, at least in my retreat with you people. They're kind of like a minor earthquake, no? Which is good. I was expecting it to come sooner or later. I won't tell you what it was, no? But, you know, if you don't have some type of movement, then the director should ask the directee, are you meditating or not? Something has to happen, no? So if you have some type of movement where the enemy is trying to rock your bed, he's trying to disturb you, that's actually good. That's actually good. So we have to know what to do when the enemy comes and attacks us in one way or another. So the two standards. We're trying to cultivate a spiritual antenna, spiritual dish, to pick up the good vibes and to reject the bad vibes. Because we have a spiritual antenna. It has to be used. Constantly there are these vibes that are coming out of the good and the bad. The good are inspirations that come from the good spirit, and the bad would be the enemy that's trying to rattle your cage, so to speak. So if you feel you feel in a certain sense these movements within you, maybe pulling you in the wrong direction, that has happened. If it hasn't happened, it doesn't happen in the retreat. It doesn't mean you're making a bad retreat. But you shouldn't be taken off guard if you've got a temptation in one way or another. But the thing is, you have to know what to do with it. That's the key. All right, then later on in the evening we'll have the classes, which are the three classes of men and then the three grades of humility. Now this serves to dispose our soul if we have to make decisions. Some of you here might have to make decisions. Some might have to make a very, very important decision. The nation retreat would be a life-changing decision. Say, for example, someone had to make a decision to opt for the religious life or opt for the married life or to opt for a certain profession, to opt for a postgraduate degree. I mean, these things are huge. Opt to move your family from one state to another. That's huge. These are life-determining decisions which have repercussions on the salvation of our souls. So it's important that these decisions be made properly. The exercises help us the proper use of reasoning. Reason and faith utilized for the salvation of our souls and those that are entrusted to us. Then this would be time also when you're thinking about making concrete proposals that you're going to be making to carry for the next year. But they're not abstract, theoretical, but rather concrete proposal that you want to carry out. That's the three classes of men. In three grades of humility, we're revisiting the fact that we still are sinners and we have to fight against sin. Understand? Very important. Now there are 70 of us here. Every one of us is different. And if you're praying, you're discerning, it might be simply this. You have made decisions in your life, but you have to fortify your proposal to do it better. Maybe what you're doing is, you know, you're doing is morally good, but it could be done better. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better worker. I'm going to be a better spouse. Okay, I'm okay, but God wants me to be better. That could be part of this whole dynamic. For example, if you have the thought, okay, you married women, okay, I'm going to make the proposal, I'm going to leave my spouse, I'm going to become a contemplative nun. No. That's the bad spirit. I'm going to choose a better lifestyle, okay? I've directed for many years. I've had women that have told me that I really feel I'm called to become a nun. You got five kids? Well, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake, no? No, you perfect yourself in the vocation that you've chosen. I forget the Latin dictum, but it was like reform, conform, and perfect. In other words, we want to reform our lives, we want to conform our lives to Christ, and we want to unite ourselves to Christ in His passion, death, and resurrection. But this is a process of reforming ourselves. Okay, so the two standards. Okay, I'm going to give you two standards in a very original way now, trying to maintain the Marian character of this retreat. I'm going to give you two biblical passages. In literature, this is called a marked literary contrast. Okay? A marked literary contrast in literary jargon. Okay? Okay, you're going to be meditating upon Genesis chapter 3 and then Luke chapter 1. This is the two standards. Genesis chapter 3 is you encounter Eve. Luke chapter 1, you encounter Mary. So you have Eve and Mary. This is a Marian two standards. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through Eve and Mary, and I'm going to give you a marked literary contrast between the two. Are you ready? Are you? Okay. So I wrote out 10 different contrasts. Eve represents the standard of Satan. I think I don't have to tell you that, but I will. And Mary, of course, represents the standard of Christ. And you have to go to see the dynamic of this in yourselves, where we have the Eve and the Mary battling within us constantly. Number one. So I'll give you the Eve and then I'll give you the Mary. Number one is the name. Eve means the mother of all the living. Listen to the contracts now. Who brought us death? Her name means mother of the living, but she brought us death. Mary, on the contrary, she is the spiritual mother of all in the realm of grace. So Eve is the mother in the physical realm. She's the mother of all of humanity, but she brought us death. Mary is the mother of all in the economy of grace, and she's called the full of grace. Number two, Eve was given freedom. But Eve abused her freedom. Mary was free to choose to be the mother of God. She could have said no, but Mary used her freedom to honor and glorify God. You with me? Okay, number three. Eve was standing underneath a tree in a garden under which was the forbidden fruit. Mary stood underneath the tree of the wood of Calvary, which was the cross. There are two trees. Eve enters into dialogue with an angel. Who was that angel? Was the book of Apocalypse calls it the ancient serpent. That serpent was a fallen angel. We call him the devil. So Eve enters into dialogue and converses with the enemy. Mary receives the invitation of another angel and enters into dialogue with another angel. The name of this angel is Gabriel, which means power of God, God's power. Okay, Eve, moved by pride, disobeys. Pride and disobedience. Mary listens with great humility and docility, and Mary obeys. Eve takes and eats from the tree in the middle of the garden. Mary offers to us the fruit of the tree of life. Eve eats, and it's the first sin of gluttony, too. She's eating what she should not have eaten. Mary offers us, listen to this, the fruit of her womb. That is Jesus, the bread of life. Okay, by eating of the forbidden fruit, Eve brought us death. As Romans says, death came to the world through sin. Mary brought us Jesus, the bread of life, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Eve with Adam. Now we introduce Adam. Eve with Adam. Brought sin and death to the world. Now Jesus is the second Adam. Who by his death and resurrection brought life to the world. And finally, because of Eve, we're all conceived and born with original sin. through the church, which is also a typology of Mary and the church, are seen as parallel or brought to life through baptism. They say that the church, through baptism in the church, or brought life. They say that the baptismal font is like a womb, like Mary's womb, from which you were born. So what do you think? You like it? Okay, let's conclude with this. All of you, as well as myself, we all have within us both Eve and Mary. There's a constant tension within us between Eve and Mary. There's a battle. And if you'd like to connect this, we haven't had time in this retreat, you can connect this easily with the capital sins. We have a tendency in our nature to go overboard with respect to eating. It's called gluttony. Mary teaches us temperance. We're bombarded today with so many impure images. That's called lust. Mary is most pure and holy. We live in a modern world where we're tempted always to want to have more and more, avarice. Mary's from the Anuim, the poor of Yahweh. Anuim. Mary lived out, blessed are the poor in spirit. We tend to be lazy. We see in the visitation, Mary went in haste. Mary was energetic and strong and determined and zealous, enthusiastic. We have a tendency to compare ourselves to others. Mary focused on God. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. We have a tendency to be proud, to glorify ourselves. Mary said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because he has looked upon the humility of his handmaid. So make this two standard, this Marian two standard. We're going to be giving you the Ignatian text, and these are the two biblical passages, Genesis 3, which is the fall of Adam and Eve. You've already seen that, but you're going to be begging for a different grace. And you're going to be meditating upon Luke 1, 26 to 38, which is the Annunciation. And you're going to be seeing these two different dimensions. But the battle is within us. There's a battle within us every moment. And if we have recourse to Mary in the battle will be won as a result of the full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. St. Ignatius, pray for us. Marian two standards.
Piece of genius, Father.
What?
The piece of genius.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one, yeah.